You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday the 25th of November 2025 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, after yesterday's cheerful podcast, we have something rather concerning to discuss today. And I'm taking this article from Breitbart. UK study to give puberty-blocking drugs to children as young as 10. Now, just before I went into prison, the CAS report came out, and the CAS report investigated these puberty blockers that were being given to children with gender dysphoria, and it showed that there was no evidence to show that anything positive would actually happen because of that. These drugs that they were given to these children, they were intended to be used for people with prostate cancer so that they could switch their testosterone off, not so that they could be given to children to prevent them from actually going through puberty. And the only reason why doctors were actually doing this is because of the pressure that was put on them by these trans advocates, adult trans advocates, some of whom may have had suspicious reasons for doing so. They may have wanted to create children that were actually adults and over the age of 16 or over the age of 18, but still looked like children and still had the brains of children. If you think when you actually go through puberty, it isn't just your body that changes, it's the whole way that you think changes as well. It's necessary for you to go through that to actually become an adult. So I don't really see how somebody who never went through puberty could even give informed consent as an adult. The other problem that there is with this, they say, oh, well, these puberty blocking drugs, they just pause puberty and they give the child a chance to think about these things before having surgery. But the issue is, if you go for a few years identifying as the opposite gender, and then you decide, well, actually, I'm going to go back to, say, being a little boy, that's 3 years of your life that you have missed out on the psychological requirements that there are to actually become a man. When you're a young boy, you're watching older boys and you're watching men to see the way that you should behave. And if for those years you've spent looking at women, looking at the way they behave, and then you realize that actually I'm male after all, and this was just a fad that I went through, they're going to have real psychological problems in trying to actually behave like a man, because all of their imprinting has been after women. So you've got general issues like that before you actually look at the medical issues and the physical issues that are caused by taking these puberty blocking drugs. And I know the motive behind this in most cases is we don't want children to suffer. We understand that if somebody believes that they're the wrong gender, that must be very awful for them to think that they're in the wrong body. It's a psychological problem. It's not something that we should be encouraging and saying, oh yes, you're correct, you were actually born in the wrong body. And if you take these drugs, then you can magically turn into the body that you wish you had. I mean, when you get adult transgenders and they've started having surgery, they just continue to take surgery. It's not possible to turn your body into a female body. You're always going to have big hands. And whenever I see these female transgenders who are presenting as female, it's always a shock to me to see the size of the hands, because you look at the face and you think, oh yeah, they look fairly female. And then you see the size of the hands and it's horrible. It's like seeing some kind of Frankenstein's monster. And these people that have had these operations and they identify as transgender, they don't see that. They see themselves as looking much better than they were. But it's a shock. It's a shock to the eyesight for people that aren't used to seeing this. It's very incongruent with the way that things are supposed to be. If you have XY chromosomes, it's impossible for you to have XX chromosomes. It's not possible for a man to turn into a woman or a woman to turn into a man. And you can get people that can dress as the opposite gender and add affectations as if they're the opposite gender. And I have no problem with that. I have no problem with adults wanting to take the opposite gender's hormones or to modify their bodies. They're adults. They can give consent to doing things like that. What I object to is children being encouraged along this route. And they are being encouraged along this route. And this CAS report, thankfully, stopped all of this. But there was a loophole in there, or there was a way back in for them, wasn't there? Because it said more research needs to be done. We need to get the results of what the long-term effects are of these puberty blockers. And instead of going to the people that have already been given them, and instead of following up on the children that were given them, they now want to start giving them to people again. In a study, instead of just studying the people that have already had them, they want to give them to new people. It's rather like with the COVID jabs, isn't it? And with the control group that weren't given the COVID jab, 3 months after, they were given the COVID jab. So it's impossible to follow them up. It's impossible to look 10 years down the line and say, look, these people that didn't have the COVID jab, they're generally far more healthy than the ones that did, because the control group that weren't given the COVID jab, they gave it to them anyway, 3 months later. And what we have here, we have a group of people that have already been given these puberty blockers, and instead of following them up and seeing how they are later on in life, they're going to give it to a new load of people. More than 100 children as young as 10 years old will be subjected to clinical trials of transgender drugs in Britain, despite the government blocking puberty blockers for general use. Last year, a review from leading paediatrician Dr. Hilary Cass found that transgender medical practices were built on shaky foundations, and that Britain's socialised healthcare system should not hand out puberty-blocking drugs to minors over safety concerns. The left-wing Labour Party government agreed and barred the practice for children. So this report actually came out last year, but they were shadowing the report a year or so earlier. We knew what her report was going to say, and it was held up because I do remember discussing it in podcasts a couple of years ago. However, the CAS review also left the door open for further medical trials to be conducted, paving the way for an upcoming study of 250 supposedly transgender children between 10 and 15 years old after receiving regulatory approval this week, the Times of London reported. According to the paper, over half of the children will be provided with drugs for up to 2 years to suppress their natural development, like periods, breasts, or facial hair. Their brain development and other indicators of health will then be monitored and compared with those of the children who did not take the drugs in their early adulthood. Well, I should imagine that the ones that don't actually get the drugs will think this is a little bit unfair, especially because they have been propagandized into thinking that this is a magic fix-all for people with gender dysphoria. I don't think this is ethical at all to be doing this. It's a great shame that it's already been done and children have already been given these drugs. And in some cases, it may be better to actually keep them on the drugs rather than to stop giving them. In fact, I think the children that did have prescriptions for this, I think their prescriptions will have carried on, because I think it's dangerous to, you just don't know what's going to happen if you stop taking the opposite gender's hormones some years into a prescription. I think maybe they had to get them private. I know that Helen Webberly, who was this gender doctor, she was the main one that these children were going to see. I know that she's still operating. So I think these children that were given these prescriptions, they continued the prescriptions, but it's just that new ones were no longer allowed to have them. And we saw that as a big win, because we thought no longer are children going to be turned into Frankenstein's monsters. But now they want to do the same. They want to start testing again. The King's College team claimed that the study was necessary to provide allegedly trans children with the information that they need to make informed choices about their care. Why are they not just going to the ones that have already had these prescriptions? The study's leader, Professor Emily Simonoff, noted that parents will need to provide consent throughout the study. And of course, one of these other issues was that if the parents didn't consent to children doing these sorts of things, then the children could be taken off the parents. The parents could be prosecuted for hate speech, for inciting hate against their own children. I remember in Scotland, there was guidance that was given out to school teachers to say that children as young as three may have gender dysphoria, and that a teacher can diagnose that. A teacher can decide whether they have or not, and whether to socially transition the child, and whether to tell the parents or not. They may think that the parents might not agree with it, and in which case they should socially transition the child without telling the parents. Absolutely horrific. And if the parents complain, then they can be accused of inciting hate against trans people. They can be accused of being transphobic. So the whole system has been arranged towards promoting this idea and encouraging this happening. And now it's happening again with this study. However, she acknowledged that the study could have long-term negative impacts on the children involved, including potential impacts to their fertility, mental development, and bone structure. If they don't develop the correct sexual organs, they're not going to be able to enjoy sex. And of course, if you're a child, you're an innocent child, you don't understand what sex is. Unless you've actually gone through puberty, you don't understand what it is. So you try and explain that to a child and they'll say, well, I don't know what it is anyway, so I'm not going to miss it. You know, that's the sort of logic that's being used to promote this idea. So they won't enjoy sex because they haven't got the correct sexual organs, because they're not taking the correct hormones, because they don't have the natural hormones that their body requires. Their bones are going to turn to powder. They're going to get osteoporosis at a young age. As it says here, mental development, they're not going to develop mentally. They're not actually going to become adults in their thinking. And yet, and this doctor, this professor, she acknowledges that these are the long-term negative impacts that could happen, but she's still going along with the study and saying, well, why don't we just look at the people that have already had this, that have already gone through this? Yeah, Professor Simonoff said that trials would test to see if they would be offset by reduced anxiety and depression, with a better alignment between body features and long-term identity. So this is the reasoning that's given, is that if you give children puberty blockers, they won't be so anxious, they won't be so depressed. But imagine how anxious and depressed you're going to get a few years later when you realise that you're infertile, you can't have children, you can't enjoy sex. Everybody else is a mature adult and you're still thinking like a child, and you're going to be blaming these doctors for this. We already have these detransitioners who realized that they were just going through a fad, and now that they've taken these irreversible changes to their body. And what they really should be doing here is to encourage people's thinking to be more in line with their body features. And this is the goal of this, is to provide, quote, a better alignment between body features and a long-term identity. So clearly that's what the goal is. But I would say that a better way of doing that is to encourage people to be happy in the body that they have. We should be encouraging little boys to revel in the differences that they have between them and girls, revel in the fact that they can do things that girls can't do. And they should be encouraging girls to revel in the things that girls do, and the fact that they can become a mother and that they can have children. You know, look at young girls and they play with dolls and they put them with a pram and they want to play at being mother. They want to play with a doll's house. We don't encourage these things. We say, well, no, that's no good. That's reinforcing gender stereotypes. So we don't encourage these things, and then people get confused about their gender. Whereas if we really want to create a better alignment between body features and long-term identity, we should be encouraging people to be happy in the bodies that they have, be happy in the gender that they have, and not wish to be part of another gender. I mean, one of the reasons that this can happen is because there may be a family friend or a member of the family that rewards the child when they behave as if they are the opposite gender. It may be like an older sibling that wishes that they had a younger sister when it's actually, or another sister. Things like that. And when the child is then given more attention, when they act in the opposite way, it reinforces that. And it encourages them to be like that. You can get mothers that are like that. You can get aunts that are like that. These are often the causes, the original root cause of why somebody can have this, have this confusion about their gender. And we don't ever seem to look into that. We just seem to accept that, oh, people are just born like this. They're just born into the wrong body, rather than looking at things that can happen in the environment that could result in an end result of something like this. The study has sparked a swift backlash, including from the political and medical communities. Biology in Medicine Doctors Campaign Group, Dr. Alice Hodgkinson, said, "There is already clear evidence of harm, and there is no ethical justification for subjecting another 200 children to puberty blockers. We urge NHS England to stop placing children in harm's way and to prioritise rigorous analysis of the cohort of 2,000 children who have already received puberty blockers." I mean, that would be the sensible thing to do, wouldn't it? Rather than inflicting this on another generation of young children. Former Prime Minister Liz Truss said, "Just when you think transgender ideology has been vanquished, it rears its head again. Doing this to children is evil. It should be a crime." It should be a crime. It's like a Frankenstein's monster thing, what they're actually doing to these children. And the psychological damage as well. Telling them when they're young that they can actually change to being the opposite sex. And if they just take these drugs, and they'll turn into the woman that they've always wanted to be. And then they realize that just doesn't actually happen. You know, you have big hands, you have big feet. Maybe you won't have such a pronounced Adam's apple if you don't take testosterone, but you're still going to have the bone shape of a male. You're still going to have a male rear end for starters. You're not going to look like a woman. If you look at the skeleton of a woman and compare it to a male, it's a very, very different in the hip area and around that lower area there. And you just can't change these things. You're setting these children up for a lifetime of depression, basically, at not being able to be what they want to be. Whereas what we should be doing is encouraging them to be happy in the body that they are in, so that they don't get depressed about these things, so that they relish in the fact that they're male or that they're female. In a letter to Health Secretary Wes Streeting, independent MP Rupert Lowe called on the government to step in and halt the trial. Now, I really like Rupert Lowe. The more I hear about him, the more impressed I am. I think he is probably the best out of all the British politicians, and it's a great shame that he's no longer with Reform. I don't think he could make it on his own with a separate party, and I think he was a very good influence in Reform. It's a great shame that he sort of got ideas above his station and thought that he was better than Nigel Farage, that nobody but Nigel Farage could leave that party, because nobody but Nigel Farage actually has the charisma that's required. And Rupert Lowe is not very charismatic. I mean, he's very good on issues such as grooming gangs, mass migration. This, in fact, he seems very good on all these issues. But he doesn't have the gravitas of Nigel Farage. He would have been absolutely fantastic if he had just stayed in Reform. He would have been a really, really good influence within the party, I think. Rupert Lowe called on the government to step in and halt the trial, expressing profound concern and, frankly, disgust regarding the decision to authorise a new clinical trial administering puberty-blocking drugs to children. "This is a deeply unethical experiment, one which must be immediately halted. We cannot further expose children to such harmful medical interventions. The trial is not safe, and it is certainly not ethically defensible. No child is born in the wrong body. To suggest otherwise in any way is a wildly irresponsible abuse of power and authority. Normalising this attitude at all is immoral and dangerous." He's rather like the small child pointing out that the emperor wears no clothes, isn't he? Saying that no child is born in the wrong body. just 20 years ago, maybe even just 10 years ago, people wouldn't have believed that this was possible. And it's all come about because of this move towards the left, this idea that we want everybody to be equal, we don't want anybody to be left out, we want everybody to be included. And you take that to the extremes, and you want transgenders to feel included. So you say, well, we'll say that they are actual women, and then they'll be able to take part in women's sports, and they'll be able to go to the women's bathroom, and all of these things out of this desire for everybody to be equal and for nobody to feel left out. And when we do that, we end up with them invading women's spaces. We end up with all sorts of problems when we deny reality. And that's what's at the root of this, I think, is denying the biological reality. It's the same with race. If you deny the biological reality of race and you try to make everybody equal, you'll end up using every resource that you actually have on trying to do that. And you won't ever be able to do that. And you'll end up with a society where you're not allowed to talk about these things. Everybody is censored. You have to have quotas to get people into these positions. This idea here, you end up having to give children puberty blockers so that they can attempt to make believable facsimiles of the opposite gender. It just ends up with all sorts of problems when you go against biological reality. And what did we do before we had these puberty blockers? What did we do before we had the opposite gender's hormones? Well, we've always had people that had gender dysphoria. They exist in most societies. And what they used to do is try to make themselves look like the opposite sex as much as possible. So you might get a woman that wanted to be a man, and perhaps they would shave their head, or they would get a tattooed moustache, that sort of thing, and they would behave like a man. And many of them make very good facsimiles of men. Or you would get women that wanted to be women, and they would wear makeup, and they would try to raise their voice, and they would wear women's clothes, and some of them would be very good at actually pretending to be women. But they didn't actually use to take drugs to change the way that they think, which is effectively what taking the opposite gender's hormones are. I mean, they're drugs. They're medical compounds which people take to alter the way that they look, as well as the way that they think and the way that they behave. And to be honest, I think it would be much better for somebody to present as the opposite gender without taking these hormones, because it means that there's a certain amount of skill that has to be involved in doing that. It's quite a feat to make yourself look like the opposite gender and to actually blend in, and to do it without medical enhancements. I mean, that's obviously something that takes a great deal of skill. And it also demonstrates the dedication that person has to presenting as the opposite gender. You know, in order to do that, they've had to work very hard at it. Whereas what we have here is just children that are being told that they must actually be the opposite gender, and we'll socially transition you, and we'll give you these puberty blockers, and it's all done for them. It's not like they have to work really hard like people used to have to do to try and present as the opposite gender. It's all done for them. It's all very easy. And I would suggest that makes it even more likely that they're going to regret this when they get older. And they're going to have serious problems. They're going to realize that they're impotent. They're infertile. They're not able to enjoy sex. Their bones are falling apart. They're getting fractures. They can't think in the same way as everybody else. They're still essentially a child in a child's body. I mean, it almost seems like a pedophile's dream, doesn't it? To have children in children's bodies, but that are actually over the age of 18 and legally can consent to sex. And you have to wonder whether some of the people that have been involved in pushing this, whether they have been pushing it for that reason. I believe the majority of people that have been pushing it are pushing it out of genuine concerns for children and genuine concerns for transgenders, but there has to be a certain element among them who are pushing this idea because they want to see children able to consent to sex with adults, because that's effectively what you'll have. Somebody who's never actually gone through puberty, mentally never actually gone through puberty either, but on paper is actually over the age of 18. So there's serious concerns about that. There's serious concerns about all of it. And I really hope that the government put a stop to this. There really is no need for them to do another experiment like this. They already have 2,000 children that they have already experimented on. And all they have to do is look at the end results of that. Do a study on them. They don't need to start dishing out these drugs to a new generation of children. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.